Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
You know, I was just having this conversation with somebody about, like, the word bummer. Like, yeah. You don't hear that word enough, but, like, being called a bummer. By the way, there's a headphone switch on your...
I was going to say, I'm not hearing anything.
Right there. Okay. There you go, buddy.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Oh, look at that, huh? Yeah. So being called a bummer as a dude is, like, almost the equivalent to a C word for a woman. Because it's like, dude, if I was like, hey, Skylar, dude, you're a huge fucking bummer.
Yeah.
Doesn't that resonate a little
you're
bit?
You're a bummer.
Yeah,
it does.
That means basically you suck at having a good time.
You suck energy out of rooms.
You bring people down.
That's what you do.
I mean, maybe the only way you can make it good is if you said it in like a half Michelangelo accent from like Kingdom Turtles, like, oh, bummer, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Being a bummer.
Yeah, unless you're like, Keanu Reeves or Brendan Fraser from Encino Man or Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle, there's no good way to be.
When you first said Michelangelo, I just immediately went to art. I didn't even know you were going to. Go to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm like,
that's the worst Italian artist accent I've ever heard. I didn't know where you were going.
And I'm like, hey, such a bummer. You suck the light out of the room. Let me tell you, it's kind of so.
That's what the new Ninja Turtle movie should be. Just all fucking Italian guys dressed up with shells.
The fight of the crime.
I can't believe they're. So this
get to the shredder.
The cheese shredder?
Yeah, the cheese shredder. Hey, you know, and then after we defeated the shredder, we can go down and stand the line of base. So hopefully we get in tonight. We're going to fight the Mighty Pepperoni.
The worst villain name ever, the Mighty Pepperoni.
The Mighty Pepperoni.
That does sound like a children's show that would get made.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Like Today's World? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get to watch all of them. It's a really good
time. Oh, yeah. Do you have two?
I have two stepkids.
Yes. Yeah, two stepkids.
Yeah,
what are the ages?
You want to know anything about Austin and Allie or Victorious?
Dude, you posted.
I'm your guy.
You're so dope with kids, by the way.
Oh,
and
thanks,
these kids
man.
Are way look like you're. I mean, not only our guest, Skylar Stone, by the way.
Yeah. Skylar's here. So this will be one of those podcasts where Adam and I don't do a lot of talking.
I don't know. Maybe
am I over talking a lot?
You just talk fast.
You bring a lot. Yeah, you talk fast. I can do.
No, but I share. I'm not one of those comments.
No, you got great give and take. Yeah.
No, you're good. We'll keep up.
But with your the kids, you posted something about teaching. Is it what's the son's name? Jaden.
Jaden. Yeah.
Yeah. You taught him something. You were in the car, and he asked you. Who the Eagles were. No, who Real Big Fish was. Who Chumbawamba was.
Just keep going at him.
Yes,
Smash Mouth.
There's only 1 million more bands.
He said, hey, Dad.
OMC.
He said, hey, Dad, when did Vertical Horizon get their start? And he said,
he's like, color me bad. Was it three guys or two?
People are constantly fucking that up.
Yeah.
But you gave him, like, you posted this long, great, like, story about it. Well, mm-hmm. just tell it. I mean.
Well, basically, I'm a music freak. I mean, I'd rather be at a concert than anywhere.
You post like, hey, when is Coachella's lineup coming out for 2015?
Yeah.
Like 2 days after the 2014 concert has happened.
Oh, yeah. I'm the guy starting rumors online. And I actually think that I have some influence, okay? Because I was the only guy in the message boards for years going, dude, they got to get Dre and Snoop to come and bring a bunch of, like, rap guests. Like, for 3 years, no one talked about it on the message boards. And, like, I'm, like, probably one of the top five posters on the message boards.
Oh, shit.
I'd be a lot more successful if I actually gave up my Coachella obsession, by the way. And you know how many times Nicole's gone, you have 14 pages sides tomorrow, and you are online trying to get people to rally together to make sure that Soundgarden opens up the festival next year.
And I'm like, so?
Hey, you gotta have priorities.
Yeah.
Can you have a festival out in the desert without Black Hole Sun to kick it off?
She's like, come on! You want Kid and Play to be there, but I want food on the table. Maybe book a guest star, you know? So.
Yeah, you're like, babe, I wanna be on Bones, trust me, but I also want Darius Rucker to reunite with Hootie and open this festival.
I just need it.
I just need my happiness.
Wait, so he asked about music, and you have a vast amount of knowledge.
Love music, yeah.
But this is why I say you're just so dope with kids, because you took the time to expose him, right, to basically giving him... What, you were giving like history of...
Well, my favorite parts of Christmas always were... My dad always put one... or Santa did. Put one CD in my stocking. And it was like a musical like lesson every year. Like, it was never the CD I wanted. It was never like... I asked for Kid and Play, and my dad got me Spirit, which a lot of people don't know who they are, but they're a band from the 60s. Like, he was always trying to push me away from like whatever was like hugely popular and like learn. So I'm paying that back because music's my favorite thing in the world. So what did he ask? He asked for... He wanted to know who. He was bummed out to find out that Axl. He's obsessed with Guns N' Roses. He was bummed to find out that Axl didn't write "Knocking on Heaven's Door." Like that bummed him out.
Holy shit.
I'm like, no, buddy. I'm about to open your mind. A really awesome guy wrote it. His name's Bob Dylan. He's like, well, who's Bob Dylan? I'm like, well, here we go.
And, you know, here we go.
Oh, let me tell you something I did to him, by the way. It's very nice of you to say that I'm good with him, but I do have my little tricks to make them like me more. So his birthday was coming up, and he wanted like a CD or something like that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the CD what he wanted. It's actually a rare get. And
well, yeah, dude, John Denver and the Muppets isn't in every fucking
just hard. Yeah, I mean you got to break into Adam Ray's apartment to find that. So,
well played.
Yeah.
That's called a serving volley, kids.
Yeah, yeah. So
what did he want?
He wanted two things. First of all, he wanted a Guns N' Roses live CD. That's not a CD, by the way. It's like it was only printed on vinyl. So I was trying to find someone that, you know, took the time, kind of like I take the time to talk about Coachella on message boards,
right,
to transform it from vinyl to CD, because he doesn't listen to records. Wow. What he wants.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. So basically, what I did instead was I went up to him on Christmas and I gave him a card. On his birthday, and I gave him a card, and he opened it up and it said, "Dear Jaden, I bought you every song in the world."
What?
All I did was buy Spotify for $7.95 a month. And he's constantly telling people, he's like, "Skylar bought me every song in the world."
Dude, he's telling kids at school
that?
And in a day and age where kids are loving to brag about, like, at the age, I feel like you just said that he's now telling everyone that you're a voice in the movie Dinosaurs coming out.
Walking with Dinosaurs, December 20th.
IMAX.
3D and IMAX.
Yeah, fucking. So I mean,
we're gonna go see this together. We're doing this.
Obviously,
okay.
I want to go with you.
Don't you say that I didn't try and see The Heat with you. I actually tried three times. Like, dude, I've seen it so many times. I can't see it again.
I only saw it like three times, and that was too. That was enough, man. I don't.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
I don't know.
I just want to know, what theme blanket are you guys gonna bring to this thing to cuddle under? I mean, it's gonna be a Muppet blanket.
Let me just tell you,
Turtles, Scooby Doo. What's happening?
Hey, it might be a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones blanket.
We geeked out, dude. We went and saw Jurassic Park together with like his manager and some people, on a Saturday morning, and we got so excited that we got to park in Jurassic parking while seeing Jurassic Park.
Oh, because you saw it at Universal.
That was a big deal to me and Adam. We took a photo to commemorate.
This is meant to be, man.
Dude, that's like picking up your fucking candy snacks at See's Candies before you go see Forrest Gump.
Exactly. Exactly like that.
It was amazing. It was epic. Can you describe how, you and I both, there were times when I felt like we could have turned to each other. Like, I feel like I was like trying to wipe away tears. I was so overwhelmed with how happy I was, because it was like, not only did it take me back to a great time of when that movie came out, but like, it just was so, I don't know, man. That movie is so flawless to me.
Oh, it's amazing. If people want to study a screenplay, okay, enough of talking about Citizen Kane, Chinatown. How about a blockbuster once in a while? How about Jurassic Park? That is a perfect, every single character is set up in some way, has an arc, and it's all paid off.
Yep.
You know, there's not a wasted moment.
There's a little bit of funny in there, peppered.
Yeah.
I mean, and then obviously the CGI was like, I mean, that was the first, wasn't
the
first movie that kind of like really
was ridiculous.
That was the start of everything kind of getting more real.
Yeah, and there were times.
Yeah, you could definitely argue that.
Because like, and the T-Rex was sometimes CGI and sometimes a puppet, and you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And who cares that there's that one scene that by the Tyrannosaurus Rex pen where there's land in one shot, and then when they come back to that same shot, it's a fucking cliff going over into water. Who gives a shit? Spielberg says, "You know what? I want my Jeep to fall over a dam." And there, Mr. Spielberg, there.
Can you imagine the script supervisor walking? Yeah. There wasn't a scene. Yes, there was.
Don't care. Jaws, Indiana Jones. I have a pedigree, son.
Always.
First time I saw Jurassic Park in the theater, the first time around, I was with my dad and his mom at the time, who was alive, and she was 82, I think.
Okay.
And there was a person in front of us who was blind, and they kept asking what was going on during the movie.
How do you describe Jurassic Park to a blind person?
Yeah. There's a dinosaur. They're eating them. Jeff Goldblum said something funny. Yeah. It's over.
You know, the lawyer sitting on a toilet.
Trying to take a shit. That was his last poop. Didn't get it all out. Forgot to wipe, but he's dead.
Hold on,
we'll pause real quick.
Yeah.
Wait, so, okay, that was your cable guy.
Corbin, thank you, man.
Yes.
Cable guy Cable Guy Corbin. Everybody.
Adam, is there any other household?
Corbin, you want a beer for the road or something? You good? All right. See you, buddy.
How about a line?
A guy is getting into a van. You're like, do you want more beer?
How about a line? And he opens the door.
He comes back for the cocaine.
Oh, man.
We won't say what company Corbin works for based on that, but he's a good dude.
Yeah, let's just say it rhymes with Bay TNT. Anyway, my first, seeing Jurassic Park, so the woman, she's saying, what's going on? So, yeah, how do you describe it to a blind person? So my 82-year-old grandma goes, stop asking questions or leave. Doesn't know this woman's blind. And the woman next to her goes, she's blind. And my grandma goes, I don't care. She's 82.
I love that old person don't give a fuck.
Anne Ray. She bowled tough. She was 90 fucking six.
Really?
Yeah,
there
dude.
You go.
Whoa.
Anyway.
I love brassy old women, man.
That's like, and she wasn't mean-spirited. She just was like, I'm up there. I'm seeing a movie. It's already a little overwhelming for me because I'm fucking 82. Like, dinosaurs are kind of blowing my mind.
Right.
Like, I'm looking down every 10 minutes to take pills, probably, or some sort of nuts. You know? And
that's a great old person game. Is this a pill or nut?
Yeah. Whatever. And then the second time I saw it was in high school with a buddy of mine. We were like, let's get high. We first started smoking pot. And I remember this is the stoniest moment I had when the shell cracks at the park and they see the baby velociraptor.
Oh, yeah, that's a great scene.
My buddy goes, he goes, wait, what if they opened that and instead of a baby velociraptor, it was a rat? And they realized this whole fucking park, like the guy was actually growing rats and he thought it was dinosaurs. And then I go, and then he would turn to Sam Neill and go, welcome to Rat Fantastic Park. And dude, we laughed for an hour and a half, man. Rat Fantastic Park is the name of a fucking rodent theme park.
Oh my God.
And you'd have to have like, you know, you'd have to say like, that's where Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers were born.
Yeah.
Know, all the famous rats, Rizzo.
Splinter didn't really come from a Rokusaki, okay? No. Like, this is where he came from.
If you're playing at home, drink five. Anytime a Rokusaki is mentioned. Or maybe just drink from your Rokusaki shot glass.
Who doesn't have an Rokusaki?
I promise you, Adam does. That's the only person I would like.
I'm guaranteed.
Yeah, you and I both share a giant love for just like having a vast knowledge of just information that's not necessary.
But especially the 90s. I love the 90s.
Me too, man.
I know people are obsessed with the 80s.
Sure.
But to me, that decade is so played out, and the 90s is where it was.
Now, what about music wise, too?
80s is just a bunch of hair and Casio keyboards.
Yeah, exactly.
You're fine.
Hair, Casio. Yeah, exactly. Charlie Sheen was a movie star for a second, and that's it. Yeah.
I mean, let's go to the 90s when movies were movies. When, like, the
Fight Club. Memento.
Mighty Ducks.
Being John Malkovich.
Sure.
Being John Malkovich. Yeah. Wow.
Dennis the Menace. And if you tell me that movie's bad, I'll
hit you in the face. Dude, Walter Matthau could have won an Academy Award for that performance.
Exactly. For Mr. Wilson? Are you kidding me with
that? And Christopher Lloyd, dude.
Oh, God, he was so good.
To go from being Doc Brown and making me love you to me, like, literally going, he might actually touch that kid inappropriately. that's a talent, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he was creepy.
He might use that slingshot and fucking, you know.
It was a dark movie.
It was.
He looked like a rapist.
It was dark.
He really did.
He did.
And then he's like out by the creek with them, following them. Like, it was fucking
cooking
weird.
Beans in the fucking campground.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But Dennis, dude, that kid was so dope.
Oh yeah, what happened to that kid? Oh, he ended up in a Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, did he?
Rushmore.
Oh no shit.
That's the little blonde boy in Rushmore. That's the Jason Schwartzman. Yeah. Wow.
Has there been a like mischievous kid movie in a while? Like, what's kids today? What's their Dennis the Menace?
Because we had Home Alone. We had
Malcolm in the Middle.
We had Three Ninjas.
We had a bunch of them.
Yeah, we had a bunch of like
Problem Child. Don't forget that at all.
Problem Child. See, now it's reality shows. Now it's literally they're real problems.
Now it's Honey Boo Boo.
That's it. It's the reality.
Honey Boo Boo is
that.
The new Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck. That's be a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Just them side by side.
I just turned the kids on to Home Alone the other night. We were just going through like Time Warner Cable trying to pick out a movie, and the kids are like, "What's Home Alone?" I'm like, oh. Gosh,
Home Alone.
What kind of a stepfather am I?
Yeah, you don't show your kids Home Alone, because what kid didn't watch that and then go home and think, I dare a burglar to break into my house tonight?
Oh, right away. Jaden's first thought was like, oh my, please leave me home at some point. Please. Please leave me home.
Because they were so hilarious. You knew you were going to be entertained. You just had to have like basic, mousetrap knowledge.
For sure.
Mousetraps and paint cans.
I didn't even think about that. It's mousetrap. It's basically mousetrap. Sure.
It's human mousetrap.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
They
just watched two, by the way. So they watched Home Alone 2, and now their minds, we're going to New York. We're going to New York next week.
Great
and so
move.
The kids,
they're
going
to want to meet the pigeon lady.
The second night we're staying at that hotel.
Yeah. Dude, Skyler, that's fucking yeah. so
So,
dope.
Dude, they are going to be so pumped, man.
And yeah. you're going to have to watch the movie that night.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Dude, see, that's a hotel room with one of those little refrigerators you can open with a key.
Get your lousy, no good freaking caucus off my door. I'm going to give you to the count of two.
That actually does sound bad. That's really
Tim Curry's out there like, oh.
Get your lousy.
Yeah. I forgot Tim Curry's in it.
That's
holy
right.
shit.
Oh, Frankie was there. Frankie was there. Little John with the bony leg. Cliff.
And then it cuts to a guy named Cliff, and Tim Curry's like, he looks at his name tag. Macaulay Culkin just sitting there eating fudge pie and vanilla wafers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's no, like, little kid is the hero movie anymore. Like, maybe, what was that movie with, like, Frankie Muniz and Amanda Bynes? Like, not too, like.
Big Fat Liar.
Yeah, Big Fat Liar, like, 8 years ago.
I used to have to mention that, where that was filmed when I did the tour at Universal Studios. I'd be like, and Big Fat Liar was filmed over there. And sometimes I would go, because nobody cares. And, dude, and my boss was on my tour once. She's like, you can't do that. You can't bash the movies that we filmed that you're talking about. I was like, yeah, but nobody cares.
Yeah, but it's like, who's freaking out? Who's going, wait, this is where the water came down and Big Fat Liar, oh, yeah. I can die yeah. now.
And I would
like,
show the clip.
That? Like, yeah. like you're going to be on a tour and go, this is where Ishtar was filmed. Although they do still have Waterworld there, which is, you think they would be like, yeah. get it, take
ride?
It down. Yeah, take it down.
Yeah, I know. They you should. Know?
Well, I mean, they're like, well, but a giant plane flies into our thing.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. Now with that, all right. So you've done a lot of shit.
Well, thank you.
You in your career. And you not only have been so kind to be candid with me about like advice in mm-hmm. the business, but you're also, you're straight up inspiring, man, because you've
Thank
like
you.
You've been in it for how many years? You feel like you've actually like, been like when you got your show Con on Comedy Central. That was like your
that was 04 when I sold that,
right? Yeah, and dude, right. you're still grinding as hard and working consistently. It's like, you know, you're doing what you have to do. Like you have to stay in it with stand up and all your, you know, acting and writing and just like being
online movies,
writing it like out doing for everything. The timing, because obviously there's a lot of timing and luck involved, but it's like you're progressing, you know, like and not just, you know, because you could have had that show and that could and it didn't go it the way
been,
you would want it to.
Could have been Jackass. Yeah, exactly. Could have been huge. But
yeah, but yeah. also you could have like just let that be like that could have sucked your will to continue.
Yeah,
because that happens to a lot of people.
Well, there was a 2 week span. There was a good 2 weeks where I was like,
what
oh
happened
my gosh.
In those 2 weeks?
Oh, my gosh. Well,
that's a dream.
First of all, Con was a brilliant prank show that you had on Comedy Central.
Thank you.
That dude, I remember when I saw that shit in college and I was like, this is.
Oh, you watched it in college?
Yeah, yeah, dude. Yeah, I did too. The one where you were. You did the fake porn set.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite.
The dry humping one.
Yeah, yeah, where you just is like, we're going to hire actors and we're yeah. going to be like, yeah, we're going to con people into thinking that we're doing an actual porn movie.
There was a day where, okay, so basically, Con was always reverse engineering a male desire. So if it was like, I want to go to a baseball game and have box seats and not pay for it, I mm-hmm. go, all right, let's work backwards and figure out how to get me that, you know? Mm-hmm. Then one day, I was just like, well, how can I be on a porn set? How can I meet porn stars? How can I end up at like my own porn premiere? And we were just trying to figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm. And there was a writer in the room who said, well, Comedy Central is never going to go for any nudity. And then we just started throwing ideas. Well, how can we make a porn like without, you know, showing nudity? And someone, I don't remember how it got brought up, someone's like, dry humping? And we just lost our minds. We're like, wait a minute, hold on. Because dry humping's like, it's not something that you ever go, dude, I dry humped for an hour last night with this
no.
chick. If you, in fact, if you do talk about it, you're like, oh, dude, she totally played me out. Like,
right, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, so, the only time you get excited about dry humping is when you're in the sixth or seventh grade. You're like,
she felt my boner through three layers of jeans. Exactly. Woo! You don't look
three
at it now.
Three layers of jeans.
Well, you know,
you live in the North Pole?
Yeah, you know, you're dry humping in Alaska during the winter time, and you need some extra layers.
It's the worst time to dry hump, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So we were just trying to figure out, we were like, you know, well, what if we celebrated dry humping? What if, like, where we're from, dry humping was cool? And then somebody else said, well, then how can we make dry humping cool? And so then I came up with the idea, I'm like, well, what if it was, like, you know, porn for Mormons? You know what I mean? Because,
oh my God.
And so then we just kept, you know, that's what's so fun about a writer's room. Like, you know, I don't know if a lot of people out there know, but, like, the best stuff comes up when six dudes are in a room
of
trying
course.
To make it
yeah.
funnier and funnier and funnier. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And you're all playing that game of can you top each other?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just shooting out ideas. I mean, like, the, yeah. right? like you're just literally trying to throw, you have to be that, fearless to just be like, I can't worry about being judged or thinking some of my ideas not funny. Just have to, because if you say something that doesn't hit, it makes somebody, like, you just threw that idea, makes somebody think about something.
And it could lead to the thing that is going to hit.
Of course.
And the best writers' rooms aren't competitive. Like, if you hear that, like, writers hate each other on a show, that show's going to fucking fail. I promise you.
Sure.
And the reason I think Workaholics works so well is I just think those guys, they trust each other to a point where, like, they don't go, hey, this one might be dumb. If you're in a good writers' room, you don't even have to preface it with, this one might be dumb.
Yeah.
There's a damn good chance it's going to be dumb. Yeah. And that's what this is about.
And you're going to still make it work. We had Blake in here about...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and
he's so funny.
Yeah, he's so great. And he talked about it, and the fact that they're just all friends.
Yeah.
So they totally trust each other. Comedy Central doesn't fuck with their dynamic. They don't come in and be like, no, we think it's going to be this way. No.
Which is why it's succeeding, right?
I mean,
yeah, because you just let the guys do what they do.
Yeah.
Because they do it fucking brilliantly. So who were some of the writers on that show?
On Con?
Yeah,
on Con. A guy named Chris Cox. I know he does a lot of voices on Family Guy.
Okay.
I don't know if he's still writing. I haven't really looked him up in a while. Matt Sloan. He was his writing partner. They were a duo called Cox and Sloan. I really liked them. They were really good. I can't really think of any. Oh, Zach. Zach, the other guy that was a co-star on the show. But nice. Yeah, I don't know what he does anymore.
So Khan obviously helped you lead to other stuff, more acting roles, and just getting your name out there, obviously. Now people are like, do you know what's funny? When you were on that show, you messaged me on YouTube about my Kermit the Frog 2 Girls, 1 Cup video.
I totally remember this.
Let's talk about this. Yeah, never. Yeah.
I think the show was off the air, but I remember messaging you. You did that. Have you seen that short that he did?
Oh, it's brilliant,
dude!
It's
two girls, one cup.
I got hired at Fleming's downtown because of that video.
Are you serious?
The boss was. I mean, he had to make me take the food, study the food menu, and all that shit. But he was like, "Dude, I'm hiring you based because that video is fucking hilarious." And
listen,
Mark Sertel is vouching for you.
That's probably what really got you. Yeah. But yeah, I love.
Let me tell you who I met.
I quit 2 days later because I had a panic attack over fucking the guy chastising me over not cutting the appropriate size of butter squares to go with the rolls. And I was like, dude, I'm going to fucking have a heart attack over butter squares. I got to get the fuck out of here. This is not me. And dude, the fucking...
This was the one downtown?
Fleming's downtown. Yeah, the guy who was like, who I was job shadowing was teaching me, like, with the dessert. He's like, now you have to present them with the dessert and tell them that we have our famous Chantilly cream that goes on top of the pie. Mm-hmm. He goes, say it for me. I go, Chantilly cream? He goes, no. I say, it's Chantilly cream? I go, Chantilly cream? He goes, no, you're not getting...
Yeah, and you're totally saying it,
and he goes, Chantilly cream? I go, dude, I feel like you're just putting your chin higher. There's no difference. Like, I'm saying it the same as you. You're just lifting your head up.
Have you done that on stage?
No.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And then he goes,
this is like the fucking scene from Howard Stern Private Parts, like WNBC.
That's exactly right. Chintilly cream. I go, dude, it's fucking fancy cool. Really? Yeah. That's what it really is.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, whatever, I'll do it. And then at one point I brought over, like, I accidentally gave him a fork with his soup. And he goes, oh, man, can I get a spoon? I go, nah, man, just trying to make work with that fork. And if you do, then I'll bring you the spoon and an extra side of crackers. And he didn't laugh. And the guy goes, and then I go, nah, I'm just kidding, man. I'll get you a spoon. And then the guy goes, hey, don't make jokes. Don't make jokes. Just bring him the spoon. Yeah. What was that about? What was that about a fork? Trying to eat soup with fork? That's not even possible. I was like, oh,
I take everything
shit
so literally.
So that happened, and then 10 minutes later, fucking butter squares and fucking my
That's
heart's
hilarious,
my heart's pounding through my chest like I was on a weed brownie at Disneyland. Like, I'm just like, I can't be here right now.
So you basically, did you have a Jerry Maguire moment? Did you quit in a
No. I called him like 2 days later. I was like, dude, this is too much for me, and I'm usually, every job I had was dealing with people. Grocery store, Wolverine, fucking. I'm dealing with people. I was behind the scenes. I was fucking bringing soup and leaving, or fucking not cutting butter squares properly.
That wasn't happening.
But I used to make
Mark give me free shit there all the time.
Of course, it was a great restaurant. The food was amazing.
But
that video though, the Kermit video. But that's when you. You messaged me during Con, and I was like, dude, I was so fucking stoked because it was right after
Con. Yeah, I remember this. I messaged you because I saw the video. I mean, anybody that can combine puppets with scat films, like,
sure,
you're going to get my fucking,
absolutely.
Yeah, my vote. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I remember I messaged you, and I think I just said, because I didn't know if you knew who I was. I don't ever assume someone saw it. So I'm like, hey, my name's Skylar Stone. I think you're really funny. I'd love to do some of these somehow. I go, I had a show called Con. You were like, of course, I know. And I totally remember that. Yeah. That's how I met.
You've been on a ton of shows since then, but right now, what your recent endeavor project, I guess, that you got to be a part of, is maybe to me the coolest thing that we can fucking do in this business. I mean, stand up and acting is awesome, but like, to voice, I don't know about you, but like, that's kind of been like, I don't know, man, the same way I think like athletes dream about like being in the big game or having their own chew or cereal,
yeah,
to voice an animated character to me is like I've put on the biggest pedestal. Like,
well, do you know what the coolest part about it so far has been? You get a phone call. Someone said, "Skyler, didn't you say your character's name is Scowler?" And like, it is. It's Scowler. And they're like
in the movie Walking with Dinosaurs.
In Walking with Dinosaurs
coming out.
And they go December 20th.
Go see it. Walking Dinosaurs.
Go see it. And it's you're voicing a what kind of dinosaur?
A pachyrhinosaur.
Fuck yeah.
Which is like this is like porn for Adam.
Pachyrhinosaur. Yeah. So it's a dinosaur,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you in a VO booth? Tell me about the VO booth.
Yeah.
Tough skin, right? Yeah. Tough hard skin.
How many horns does it have?
Oh my god. What do you want to do with those horns? What do you want to do with those horns, man? Oh yeah.
Does he like kid and play?
Dino porn.
It's a pachyrhinosaur, and it's like the alpha male older brother to the lead character. The lead character is voiced by Justin Long, and then there's a prehistoric bird narrating the whole thing, which is John Leguizamo, which I'm really excited about.
Were you ever in the booth with both of them?
I was not. They were actually hired after me, and okay. So I didn't. I know Justin. This is my third movie with Justin, but I've never met John, and I'm very looking.
Oh, yeah, you were in Waiting with him.
Waiting and Accepted, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. I mean, and Skyler, I've seen you work in terms of the voiceover stuff one time before when we were both in the smash hit movie Marmaduke.
That's right.
What yeah, we fuck? Were.
Yep.
That did nothing at the box office. But
it doesn't matter, man.
But,
good job.
But like, I was going in there. I don't even know what kind of dog I played. It was
can you redo the voice?
It was me.
So that two people out there can get excited.
Like, yeah, that's a dog from Marmaduke.
But like,
is that it?
No,
I think that was Jay Leno.
Damn dog from Marmaduke. Hey, what's up? I'm a Marmaduke's friend. And
I just remember going.
You hear about
in,
this, Marmaduke?
It was like me and you, we were like the bad guys' henchmen or something.
Yeah,
what were we? It was like me, you.
We
and
did like three things,
guy.
And then yeah. We also. Didn't you end up being the voice of the dog that like passes out or something because he has
right.
too much toilet water?
I was the voice of the dog that gets drunk and passes out on toilet
drunk
water.
Drunk on toilet water.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be clear.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey.
Amazing.
He's like, I bet too much, and he like fell backwards.
Kids have no idea what's going on, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But like,
they just know if you drink from the toilet, you're going to pass out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But like, I just remember
that's a good lesson.
Yeah, yeah, great lesson. I remember doing that, and I was kind of this is my first thing into voiceover acting. I'm not sure what to do. And Skyler's you were there with me that day, and then you started doing stuff, and your energy was just so like you were. Selling the shit out of this. I'm like, oh fuck, I better set my game up. Like, does anyone have like a fifth of tequila so I can get like kind of like motivated, or actually in my case like a thimble of tequila? But
do you have a low tolerance?
Oh, it's terrible. Like, my nickname on this podcast is Two Beer Brad.
Oh man, that's
amazing. It's so,
I wish that would save me a lot of money. That's a great problem to have.
It is, except for when I'm at comedy clubs on stage, and then the audience members buy me shots, and
yeah.
Like they think, oh, let's get the dwarf drunk, and they like send four up there. I'm like, no, this is gonna kill me. I'm dying. And I always warn the audience. I say, just so you know, I will drink these because I'm not turning down free drinks, but this will
because you can't. You feel rude.
Yeah,
the audience sends you a drink to the stage.
Yeah, they're being nice. I had to drink it, but I always tell my like, this is gonna drastically decrease the quality of your show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they always cheer like, fuck yeah, we want bad entertainment. We want a dead dwarf. Best story ever.
It is funny too when you get offered a drink. Like the few times it's happened to me, like I feel like my old frat self comes out because like somebody will give it to me and then I'll take one sip and it takes one guy just to go chug and I'm like fuck and then I do it.
Here we go.
As guys, why do we do that? That guy
I'm
can't
like,
do anything.
Yeah,
to us.
The whole thing right now,
monkey.
Like dude.
Right, like they send off of an entire bottle of Dos Equis and some guys go drink it, pussy. Well, I guess I can't be a pussy to this one random guy I've never met before.
Sure. Exactly.
I guess I have to chug this.
Did you do any character research for the role of
For Skyler?
Yeah.
I mean, the same guy that brought us in from Marmaduke, Christian Kaplan, mm-hmm. gave me the role.
I know that dude.
Yeah. He gave me the role in this, in Walking with Dinosaurs. And it was weird. I was just at the Fox lot auditioning. That's what's so funny about this town. People always, they're like, you know, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? Like, you know, like sometimes it literally is just like chance.
Right place, right time.
Right place, right time. But you also have to have like the street credit that someone goes, oh, I know this guy. He can do this. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just there auditioning for another movie. I don't even remember the name of the movie. Mm-hmm. And he just walked by me. He goes, what are you doing tomorrow? And I'm like, whatever a guy like you tells me I'm doing tomorrow.
Right, sure.
He's like, send me a reel. Send him my reel. My managers did. And then bam. Like, just
wow.
You know what I mean?
That
it's
quick.
Like sometimes people are just like, you know, should I be in a class? Should I do this? It's like, dude, like, just come out here and be funny. And then, like, mm-hmm. just keep
be active.
Be active.
Do things to keep yourself, like, flexing all the muscles you know you should
absolutely.
Be flexing.
Absolutely. I tell it to young comics all the time when they're like, oh, I just moved out to L.A. How do I get on? I'm like, step one, just come hang out. Just come be at the Improv. Yeah. Hang out. And so people see you and register you as a comedian. So
But then after you hang out for a little bit, don't be the guy that hangs out every night when you don't have a spot. Don't
that's
be
true.
That guy.
Yeah. That's true. Don't
I'm
that.
Not going to drop any names. No.
But yeah. I think we're all thinking of like the same three guys, right?
Yeah, okay. Probably.
So your natural voice, though, is obviously like dope, and you know that. And that's pretty much what you're doing in the Walking with Dinosaurs, right?
It's me. He's a little he's a little affected. I'm trying to think of a line from the movie, but he's really intense. Everything, you know, everything's his way all the time. Everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like a dinosaur that just, like, you know, I wouldn't say he's bright, but he's also not stupid. He's just kind of, he's bright about like two or three things. You know what I mean? And he's just like, he's kind of like, just like a little bit like a jock, but like,
a little like Keanu Reeves meets Dave Coulier.
You just described my dream actor.
Yeah.
Cut it out.
By the way, yeah, is that happening in any casting office across, like, we want more of a Keanu Reeves, Dave Coulier type?
Yeah, if you could just give me a crossbreed of that.
If you could give me Claire Danes meets Judith Light.
Adam, when I was headlining Flappers a couple weeks ago, I posted a picture on Instagram saying, hey, everyone, come see me at Flappers, and it was of the poster of of the upcoming events. I'm headlining Friday and Saturday. Coulier is headlining on Sunday. Like, every comment on my Instagram is, wait, but we could go see Dave Coulier? I'm like, fuck, come on, guys.
You're not going to win that round.
But how about the fact that you've passed Coulier and you're doing two nights and he's doing solo nights?
Yeah!
All right, let's just focus on the positive.
Let's call
there.
Attention to that.
Alanis right. Morissette should write a song about me now.
Yeah.
Going down on you in a theater.
I still can't believe that's true.
Isn't that crazy that she wrote a song about Coulier?
It's insane.
Yeah.
Which song is it again? You ought to know?
Yeah, it's her breakout hit.
Is it the one that goes, I want you to know.
Yeah, that one.
That I burned Full House DVDs.
Like, I picture her singing and like, like she's like going back and forth between like the face you make before you sneeze.
She's
and the face you make right after you come. She's like, I want you to know.
Yeah. They all have their tricks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hers. Yeah, yeah. It works out for her.
Sneezing and coming. That's what life's all about. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what life's about.
And dude, Tracy Chapman sounds like someone's holding a gun to her head while she sings. She's like, you're gonna fire this car. I'm gonna take it. Like, she's looking around
this
like,
motherfucker's gonna shoot me.
Yeah, singing really soft.
Please
and, like,
buy the
scared.
CD or he'll kill me.
Yeah. By the way, he drives a fast car, whatever the line is. It's like, dude, most cars are fast, Tracy. You're not giving us any new information. Like, fucking,
it's like, I'm pretty sure a VW Bug.
He's just bragging about 90. What he
yeah.
He has 10 toes.
And a face and smiles and nose. Yeah.
Now, you were born in Missouri?
Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah.
St. Louis and
diehard Cardinals fan.
Diehard. So
diehard.
Yeah, so you're happy. Your Cardinals dumped Pujols on my stupid Angels and we took him.
Oh, we didn't dump Pujols. Pujols ditched us.
Yeah.
We wanted Pujols.
Okay.
And guess what?
You brought up a very touchy subject.
I think he would still be killing it if he was still in St. Louis.
Because he was happy.
You think he'd still be killing it? Dude, that motherfucker, like, St. Louis has the greatest baseball fans in the world.
You do.
And I'm not saying that because I'm biased. There are books. There's a book called Cardinal Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are everywhere. I don't know if you've ever gone to, like, see the Cardinals in another city. You will see so many red hats and red shirts. They're all over the country.
It's amazing.
Because, I don't know if you know this.
Little historical fact for you.
Okay. Back in the day, when AM radio was all there was, the only team you could hear west of the Mississippi was the Cardinals.
Wow.
So people grew up becoming Cardinals fans in Seattle and everywhere.
Jack Buck was the announcer there?
Jack Buck, yes. Okay.
Yeah, well, no, dude, I jumped on the bandwagon in 98 when that Maguire-Sosa thing happened.
Yeah.
I think that's when I, like, really started paying attention to the whole team.
Yeah.
And obviously when a team isn't your home team and they get national attention, like, in the playoffs or whatever, like, I mean, shit, man, like, the Rangers card series with Freeze and everything like that.
Oh,
I mean, that might be the last great series.
Twice.
Oh, yeah.
Twice you guys were down to your last strike. Not last out, last strike.
That's the stuff you do. That's Sandlot stuff. That's where you're playing and you're like, bottom of the ninth, down by four. That stuff you dream of. And then it's like, well, wait, that can happen?
Do you enjoy as an adult that you're still emotionally invested in sports? Do you think it's, like, healthy for people? Because there's obviously, I hear debates all the time. And dude, losing the Sonics was so devastating. But, like, dude, the last 3 years, like, to not, because that was the sport for me that I would get really invested in. And, like, I noticed a void in my, like, all of a sudden I was putting more energy into, like, my career and friends because I wasn't putting it into guys who I don't know,
right,
who are, you know, but I love it so much. But it's like, you know, I for the first time was like, holy shit, like, I have, like, more time.
Yeah. No, it's very funny you bring this up. Nicole and I have had a lot of discussions just recently about this. Nicole's my fiance. And what we've talked about is she's like, she goes, when I met you, you didn't care about anything sports related. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't been a diehard sports fan my whole life. Mm-hmm. I just gave it up for a while for sure. Exactly the reason you're talking
yeah.
about.
When I suck you in, man, and change your mood. Like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure those, dude, when the Sonics lost against the Nuggets in 94, Mutombo fucking shook his
You lost
giant,
your mind.
Dude, I like cried for 3 days as a sixth grader, went to school, was getting in fights over fucking, dude, I was like throwing my lunch in the trash just because I didn't want to eat it and fucking, now I'd go back in and get it because I was a fat kid and I was like, I can't waste those fucking cookies. But, it's like, what have I done? You know, but
he
yeah,
he spikes
just,
it, comes
it,
back.
It can ruin, it can,
5 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah dude. It can affect you so hard.
Oh, yeah.
So Nicole's like, you gotta.
Well, she just said, she goes, I know when we met, you weren't going to Laker games. You weren't obsessing about the Coachella lineup so much. You weren't, August, September, October, you know, stretch of the awesome time of baseball wasn't taking over your life. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and you were working on this and that. She was pointing out like all the yeah. things that I did. She's like,
you were making money.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you know, sometimes I've just noticed like it takes you over. And I just, my answer to her was like, you know, like there are a lot of comics that just don't like anything except comedy, right?
Sure.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like,
Chris D'Elia hates sports.
Oh, that's
sports.
Chris is sports. A great example.
Sure.
Chris literally just hates everything. You know,
yeah. he loves movies.
Yeah.
He loves his friends. He loves hanging out and comedy. But yeah, but like other.
You know, but he said it to me once. He said it. I think we're all at Dane's barbecue, and he goes. I go. Oh, I was talking about Coachella. Believe it or not,
like, yeah.
it was
oh, yeah, going to concerts. He despises.
Oh yeah, yeah I was talking about so Coachella, stupid. And Ian Edwards was like, you know, he's like, no man. He was like, you know, I gotta back him up. It's pretty dope. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, some other people were saying whatever they're saying, and then D'Elia goes, I would just never go somewhere like that. Like, what is that doing for your life? How is that advancing whatever it is? That he's like, I'm just not interested in anything that's not advancing what it is that I want to do. He was, it just sure. seems like a time kill. And I guess that just depends on what you do when you're there. Like.
Sure.
I don't go to a concert by myself to kill time because I'm like, man, I have no idea what to do tonight. It's Friday
right,
night.
Yeah.
I go because, no, Kanye and Jay-Z are at Staples tonight. It's going to be a poppin' party.
Yeah.
A lot of fun people. Let's get fucked up.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's a great time. Some of my,
yeah.
Like, I've been to two AC/DC concerts, and those shows have been like some of the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Just, yeah, yeah.
Just, and you're rocking out with friends you don't like. Like people you don't know,
yeah.
You just met. People are passing joints, and they look. That's like, well, he's got two arms. He's probably trustworthy, you know. And you
for
take
sure.
a puff.
That's always. I can't tell you how many times I've blindly just taken weed out of thin air in the dark.
You have no idea what it is.
I can't even see if it's coming from a hand or yeah. a mouth. Like, yeah. I'm just literally
could
taking
be laced.
It.
Might be laced.
Sure,
that guy looks like he laces things.
Yeah,
but. Whatever, Motley Crue's on.
Yeah,
exactly.
Smoking in the boys' room. Yeah. Like that's all.
Whatever.
That's
They're
all
playing
do.
Freebird. Let's do this. You know.
Have you had a crazy drug experience with a concert that has been?
Oh man,
that has been just positive. Oh, all right. Well, that laugh definitely was a story you saw.
It's like it's just which story you're going to tell
I can't,
at this point.
Well, I can't eat. Weed. I can smoke it.
Yeah.
All day long. Okay. If I eat it, it I don't know. It hits me. Really hard.
For sure.
Like, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I ate, and the first time I ever did it was a concert. I believe I was going to, it was Radiohead. It was Radiohead at the Bowl
nice. In
like 03, I think. Or maybe 02. And so I was getting ready for the show, and my friend goes, hey, I made pop brownies. He gets in the shower, and I'm like, he's like, wait for me until I get out. But they were hot. You know when brownies are hot? You want them right there, right?
Of course,
yeah. So I never eaten them before, and I've also never really gotten like sort of like the tutorial on how to eat them. I didn't know it takes some time for it to kick in.
Jesus.
But with weed, like, you know, you smoke it, and you smoke a joint, you start to feel it pretty
instantly
quick if it's good shit.
Yeah.
So he ate one.
So he got in the shower, didn't give you any sort of like heads up.
Oh yeah, and this was like an epic shower. This yeah. dude, you could have watched The English Patient while this guy was in the shower. He was in there a long time, and so like I
like
ate
a
one.
Jack Nicholson As Good as a Get shower. Remember Helen Hunt's waiting fucking
yeah, totally.
For like 6 days.
Well, he's got to clean every nook and cranny.
You make me want to be a better man.
That's not bad.
And be in the shower for 2.5 hours.
You make me want to wash myself so much because you're that dirty of a whore.
Somehow, I think that line would work.
That movie's
Coming
great.
From him.
That movie's
oh,
great.
Why don't you just fuck Greg Kinnear? He's gay. He might not like it, but he's got a dick, and you like dick, right? Anyway.
He says that?
Cut.
Jack, stick to the script. No, yeah.
No, he doesn't say that.
That's
he
a subtext,
says,
though.
How do yeah. you write women so well? I think of a man, and I take away logic and sensibility.
Dude, so good.
Do you know Owen Wilson contributed on that script, and he's actually an associate producer on
that? Did he really?
Yeah.
So awesome.
Well, because James L. Brooks discovered Owen Wilson, basically, you know, at Sundance when they made Bottle Rocket the short, and then he EP'd the feature of Bottle Rocket. But yeah, so we brought him on that.
So you ate the pop round.
So I ate one, and nothing's happening. And they were like, it was actually like really good, dense chocolate. Like, yeah, the chocolate was amazing.
Well, first of all, and let the listeners just recognize this is where the problem arises. You ate one, nothing happens.
Yes.
So now what do you think?
I think maybe it's not that strong. I need a second one.
Yes. I need a second one is where you go wrong.
Yes. But then sometimes after you eat a second one, you eat a third one.
Sure.
And then
you eat a
since
milk to wash
I'm an
down
intense
the
person, like you like to point, I'm like, oh, it's all or nothing, right? Ate a fourth one.
Holy shit, dude.
So then he gets out and he goes, dude, let's have one together. And like, I'm just waiting for him to notice that and he walked like it's like an apartment like this where he walked by. So I just grabbed two. So then I'm now having my
five and six.
Yes.
Jesus, man.
So I share with him and then literally we get in the car.
Do you tell him that you ate six?
Not until I started to just, I did not feel right. I literally felt like I had this thought in my mind that I'm in this car and that all life is this car and everything else I've made it up. I don't have a mom. Like there's no such thing as like,
oh my God,
there's no such thing as pizza.
So like
it's
you're
all,
wait, there's no such thing as pizza is the name of a children's book about a guy who's fucked up on mushrooms all the time.
There's no such thing as pizza.
By the way, and also it wouldn't sell because you're basically crushing kids' snack.
You can't tell
you're
them
telling
that.
Them their favorite thing.
Tell them there's no Santa, they'll deal with it, but there's no pizza. Dude, there's gonna be mass kid suicides.
It opens with Greg used to be a happy guy. Then he ate some nasty mushrooms and thought the car was the only thing that was important. And he said to himself, there's no such thing as pizza, to which his dog that he created in his head said,
His dog he created his head.
He said, like, huh, I dig anchovies. To which his pet giraffe, who was driving him, said,
dude, this would be what I love it when you do animated shorts. This would be a good animated short.
Yeah.
This would be a good one. I'm down for this one.
Okay.
I will voice in this.
A children's book. Maybe it's us pitching the book and then we cut to the animation.
Yeah.
Ooh. I like that one.
Or we show it in the room. Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Perfect. So
are you driving the car?
No such thing as pizza.
Oh, thank God.
You made up your mom. That's bananas.
Yeah. I made up my mom. There's no such thing as pizza.
Did you talk to anybody? Because I talked to my mom on mushrooms and told her I was dying because the heart inside my dick was beating too fast.
What?
Yeah. So did you have any conversation with anybody?
Well, I'm sitting in the car and all of a sudden he could tell I didn't feel good and I remember sweating a little bit and it started to dawn on me that like, you know, he's real. Okay, mm-hmm. But the phone in my pocket's not real. And mm-hmm. if I call someone even to say I need help, that help's not real. Nothing's real except what's in here.
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden I realized that he's not in on the thought with me. And then I remember going back and forth going, well, maybe he's in on it with the outside thoughts. And maybe
he's not real.
Yeah, dude, I was losing
my mind. He's infiltrating your reality.
I was losing my mind.
Oh my God.
I told him, I need you to pull over. He's like, dude, we're late. I'm not, there was some opening act he wanted to see. They're huge now. You know how that goes. Like, so. Muse open for radio edit. Yeah, yeah. So he was like, dude, they're going to be the next big thing. It might have been Muse. I don't know who. It was somebody that's huge now. I can't remember. He's like, we got to go. I got to see the opening band. And I'm that guy too. I want to see the opening band. But I'm like, dude, I actually need you to pull over. He's like, bro, listen, you were late to my house. All right. Like, this and that. He had like a laundry list of things he was upset about. Like, I think mm-hmm. There's some weird things that happened that week. Back he's like, you've been a pain in my ass this week. He's like, you know, we're going. I'm like, dude, I'm saying as a bro, like, friendship first. I remember saying that. I remember my friendship first. I need you to pull over. And he wouldn't. I grabbed the wheel. Oh. Grabbed the wheel and he fucking flips the fuck out and I go, dude, I told you I need you to pull over. So finally he does pull over. And so we get off the 10 and we sit inside the car for a second and I go, I need to get somewhere high up. And he goes, huh?
Somewhere high up?
Yeah, I need to get somewhere high up. And he's like, we just got high. I go, no, physically I need to be high up. Right? I need to see everything because I just, in case something happens, I want to be able to see everything. And so
in case something happens. All right, so now maybe you put a little fear into him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's knowing something's up now.
So, dude, you got some crazy mushroom intuition right now?
Well, I start going up this.
You got a hallucinating almanac in your fucking back pocket?
got the Hitchhiker's Guide to Tripping. I would really like that right now.
Listen, bro, be a friend and let me get some advanced topography in this bitch.
So I start climbing up this apartment complex. And I end up on the roof, and
not a good place to be.
Well, that's when I finally let him know. I go, "You should have told me how strong those are." He's like, "Dude, we had one." I go, "No, I had a bunch before you got out." And he goes, "He never went in his kitchen."
By the way, this is how there's no such thing as pizza ends. By the way, the friend just starts accusing his friend of not alerting him of the strength of the brownies.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the kid's like, "What the fuck's going on with this book right now? I thought it was about how there's no such thing as pizza." Now he's like, "They're like, what are in the brownies that made him think of giraffes?" All right.
Oh my god! So I'm up on the fucking roof, and I'm sitting there. And all the, you know, eventually neighbors call the cops. There's cops. There's probably four squad cars. They're asking me to get down.
Holy
shit. And I just kept saying, I go, guys.
There's no such thing as pizza.
if you knew there was no such thing as pizza, you would be up here too, assholes.
Yeah. Put down the gun, buddy, because that's not real.
Holy shit.
I'm just up there, and they kept saying, you know, if you don't, we have the right to arrest you. And I go, listen, I recommend you guys get up here too. There could be something that happened. If we're up here, we can see everything. And I just kept talking about this theoretical thing that could happen. I don't even know what I thought could happen.
What, do you think you were in the middle of the movie Cloverfield and like monster was going to come down?
I was straight Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. I was losing. I was fucking Brando losing my mind,
dude.
So I'll never eat weed again, ever.
It was a one-time deal.
Oh, it was a one-time deal.
Well, when that's your first experience,
yeah.
When you woke up the next day, how glad were you to be just, alert?
I was very happy.
Did you eat pizza? Or were you afraid for a little bit?
Actually, no. I remember actually being very excited that I was just excited.
The pizza was real.
Yeah, it was real. I probably ordered it the next day. Like, oh, thank goodness!
You tell the delivery guy it is real, Peter. He goes, "Stuff."
That's
fuck
the end. That's the end of the book.
Pizza is real.
The guy shows up and delivers it.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah, $16.95. Yo, look how cute you are. What? That is a great. Those are the stories you hear that make people go, I can't do it again.
Yeah.
And that's just eating weed. And it's good that you got that out of the way first. And did you get arrested, or did they just eventually just get you down?
No, I got down, and like I was very honest with them. And I'm lucky because this is weed is basically legal in California now.
Sure.
I mean, it is like a cigarette now, you know.
Sure.
But this is before that, dude. This is like 02. And I was just very lucky. These cops were really cool, and they said, listen, I think you should probably just go home. And the best thing he could do right now is just get some rest. And then I remember when we got in the car, one of them walked over away from the other guy. He goes, hey, man, one thing that really helps is eat some fruit. And then I remember me and my buddy were like, oh, this guy's like a cool partying fucking cop. Like, he's like, yo, hey, listen, fuck that guy. He's a nerd. All right.
Yeah.
But I get fucked up.
Yeah.
Eat some fruit. It'll bring you down. Like, he was basically giving me advice to, like,
dude, a little bit of acid, a little bit of papaya.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's fucking Denzel Washington in Flight. He's like, yo, where's my fucking suit at?
Oh, so good.
Have you seen Flight?
I love it.
I love that.
I love Denzel in anything.
I love that. What's his name? Shows up.
Goodman.
What did he call him, though? There was like a term.
Cleaner, fixer, one of those things.
He had some name. He's like, bring him in. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
All right. So, but you're getting to do a voice that's close to yours, but you are a skilled voice actor, and you've done not only a lot of TV and radio commercials. Your Taco Bell one was the most recent one, right?
Taco Bell, Coke Zero. I'm the voice of Busch Light.
Are you really?
Yeah. If you hear a TV commercial, easy drinking Busch Light, ice cold easy. That's me.
Wow.
I'm thirsty right now.
I'm the voice of root beer Kool-Aid lime flavored Snapple.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'd like to hear
just
that.
Came out, yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Snapple time. Feel like drinking the Snapple? Yeah, man, I thought you did. Cool root beer lime flavored Snapple. Anyway, I gotta go.
That sounds like a drunk Carl Winslow.
That's how you do it?
Yeah.
So what
no,
was
I just no, I just made up
specs?
A product. That's not a real thing at all.
Oh my god, I totally just fell for that.
I know you did, man.
Jesus. I think I finally found the one person more gullible than you, Adam,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I really just fell for that.
For real?
I don't know. I just thought
You thought root beer lime flavored Snapple was a real thing?
Listen, I have a 7 and 10-year-old. You wouldn't believe the combinations they make these days.
That's
like,
true.
Can we get this pepperoni pineapple chocolate square? And you're like, what the fuck?
Where is Wonka and why did he give you that?
Exactly.
What? I just walk in going, oompa, loompa, pineapple square.
Pineapple square.
My kids wanted to know where I was going today.
Yeah.
And so I showed them footage of you guys. They absolutely love you. They were they're like
you show them the Gangnam Style dance.
No, I showed them.
Yeah, show them that.
No, the What Does the Fox Say?
Okay. Oh, okay.
And yeah, they just got the biggest kick out of that dude. They're like, cool. Oh my gosh,
yeah, he's jumping around a giant mushroom.
They were dying, dude.
Dude, you and I both. I feel like if as soon as the rest of those movie trailer guys.
We could do it.
Retire, I feel like.
We
right?
could do it. Yeah.
Let's make one up right now.
Sure.
All right. Brad, give us an actor and give us a...
Okay.
Well, maybe there's no such thing as pizza. As the
well,
movie.
Okay. There's no such thing as pizza, the movie, starring Danny Glover, obviously.
Right.
And Vince Vaughn.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
You do Glover?
He does a version of Glover.
Hey, I see an angel with you.
And Dan, and
well, hold on, for everybody Dan, listening, Dan, though, it's a great impression.
Yeah.
However, you don't see his eyes, and he's making Danny Glover eyes. And that's it brings it home.
It does.
But anyway.
Okay. So
imagine Danny Glover eyes
Danny
on Adam.
Danny Glover eyes. Is that a
song? I feel drunk, and I'm not.
Wait, okay. Yo, so I only know that one scene where Tony Danza's on the mound, and he's like, I got nothing left. I got nothing left. And he goes, yeah, you do. And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, you got an angel with you right now. And Danza goes, I do? I thought I was dying of cancer. Oh, wait. Did people know that in the movie yet? What's going on right now?
I love this Glover, dude.
Yeah.
Who does Danny Glover?
Nobody, man.
Adam Ray does.
So there's no such thing as pizza.
I do like that about Adam. He's done what I've tried to do. Do impressions of people that no one's doing. Like,
right.
Don't step on the plate and go, yo, here's my Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to do Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then I'm going to do Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A completely original impression.
But
unless you're really good at it.
There is one that he does that everyone does, but his is my favorite.
Which one?
The one that you do. You know I have a sick upset. How many times have I called you in the middle of the night going, Adam, I'm stoned. Real quick, give me a couple of Jay Leno's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I call him all the time.
And I was going, oh, you hear about this guy? You hear about this guy? Yeah, apparently 42% of dogs lick their own butts. Yeah, you hear about that? 42% of dogs lick their own butts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, lucky dog. And then the joke just has nothing
but
to do.
He's turned him into, like, what I like about Adams, Jay, he's done the right thing. If you're going to do somebody that everyone does, Will Ferrell did it right. He did George W. Bush when all of America was doing George W. Bush.
Yeah.
But he found, it sounded like him, but they take one note and they drive it in the ground and turn him into something that he's actually really not.
Sure.
A caricature. It's exactly what it is. And that's the
don't
way to get on
Texas.
SNL.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're right, yeah.
So, he's taken Jay Leno. He did a short with Brady.
Yeah.
With Brady Matthews.
With burp farts.
Burp farts. Dude, oh my God. How many times did I call you about that one? I literally, I'm like, Adam, I just
loved it. Well, because I paid a guy like $400 to do this animation of basically showing the animation of
the
what
life
happens.
Of a fart.
The life of a burp fart.
Yeah.
And basically going through.
Have you seen it?
I'm gonna now look at it.
Can you pull up that just one part?
And yeah.
We're gonna go. Yeah. I mean,
what's it called again?
Jay Leno burp fart. There's got to be only one of them on YouTube.
Yeah.
And
watch.
You know what I thought about?
It's like Two Girls, One Cup. It spawned like all these reaction videos.
You know what's funny though is that I was watching the Inside the Actor's Studio on Clooney with my roommate at the time after I put that up,
uh-huh.
And we're watching Clooney's like and at one point Lipton's like, so you give money to Dafoe, you are an Academy Award winner, you direct, women love you, guys want to hang out with you, you donate money to charity, you're involved in politics, what don't you do? And Clooney's like, you know, I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you, James. I guess I'm just perfect. And laughs it off in a mockingly like way. And I'm sitting there being like, I look at my roommate and I go, hey, you know what I did last week? I made a video where Jay Leno pretends to do a PSA for burp farts. I go, holy shit.
That was like your moment where you're like, this is where I'm at.
You mean,
this is where
you
I'm
mean
at.
This PSA?
Everybody, it's me, Jay Leno. Now, some of you may know me as the hilarious host of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. That's me. And some of you may know me as Captain Boner. That's my profile name on Xbox Live. But now, I'd like to talk to you as Jay Leno the Human about a very serious issue that a lot of people
are aware music
of.
Changes.
It's a disease. A disease that's killing lots of people on a daily basis. I'm talking about burp farts.
Burp farts comes on screen.
What's a burp fart? This is the burp fart.
And he opens his mouth.
It comes out of his mouth!
You smell that? It smells like shit. That's because it was supposed to come out of my butt.
So the fart gets rejected from your butt.
And then there's this animation.
All the way through your system on a fart roller coaster. Oh, that sounds kind of fun. It goes past your penis,
past your lungs, your kidneys, your liver, your penis.
I'm sorry.
Some people have two penises. Past your spleen, your heart, your diaphragm, your stomach, your penis. Some people have three penises. It goes past your balls, slips by your throat, and comes out your mouth and into the air. This is my son, Brady.
All right, that's good. Yeah, it was three God. Penis part that you loved.
Well, Adam is one of the most random people I've ever met. Like, sometimes I'm like, I'll watch one of his shorts. I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. Like any comic could have thought of this.
Yeah.
And then two-thirds in, there's just this left turn. We're like, what the? How high was Adam when he wrote this?
Sure. It went past his lungs, into his esophagus, back down to where there's three penises.
Well, I spaced it out, though, because you don't see that coming. You don't see that second penis coming. You sure as hell don't see a third penis coming.
Some people have three.
And he's so casual about it.
But it ends, you didn't play the last part, and the last part is one of the things that Adam has done with Jay Leno, is Brady sits on his lap.
Yep.
And Brady's a handsome motherfucker. I would fuck the shit out of Brady.
Brady, for those of you who don't know, if you want to see him, he is on the cover of my new album, Hi Ho.
Is he really?
Yeah, Brady plays Prince Charming.
And I love that guy, by the way.
He's such a good-looking motherfucker.
He's a great dude, man.
He's a cool guy. And
great
so
comic.
He's cut and chiseled. He has no shirt on. And so he's six-pack, pecs, everything. He sits down, literally looks like Ivan Drago, and he's like sitting down. And
how's it end? Yeah, I say, every minute that Brady sits here and doesn't flinch or doesn't get up, I'm going to donate $5 to the charity of his choice or something.
Yeah. The best part is like Adam, like you're famous for your tags. You love to cut your Adam Ray logo, and then you have like a little tag at the end, and he just slaps his tent.
I just start slapping his tent.
Slapping his tent.
There you go.
There's no reason for it.
There we go.
So what I'm pointing out is he's turned Jay Leno, because you do this on the phone with me when you'll do Jay Leno.
Yeah.
He's turned him into this everyone thinks I'm just this fake guy and I'm just so perfect and I'm just so bland, but I'm actually a fucking sexual pervert. Like, you've turned him into like a darker soul than he is. Which is a funny idea, because like he is America's late night guy.
Cookie cutter clean.
Goes and does 45 minutes in Vegas, not going to curse once, goes and does Manhattan Comedy Club or the fucking Hermosa or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, but Adam's turned into this guy where you're like, nah, there's a side of Jay Leno you might not know about.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, where it's like, boy, hear about that earthquake in Japan. That was terrible. Yeah, apparently thousands of people just swimming in the ocean. Yeah. Some people call it a tragedy. I like to call it mytho soup. You know, it's like shit like that. It's like so.
It's like it's clean but darker jokes.
Like, you know, he doesn't get fucked up and he doesn't drink. He's one of those like sober, straight laced guys. But just the idea that, like, well, what if he did? Like, what if like every Sunday after fucking Hermosa, he actually he's the regular Jay Leno. Bring him out for like 2 hours.
I think that's how you develop a good character impression. You what if the fuck out of possibilities to take it to a heightened version. But but you're that's why I think it's so. So you've done, all right, we were going to do the fake, there's no such pizza. We'll close out with that, but I want to, so you do a lot of impressions.
Yeah.
And
I've seen you do Stallone, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, man, you guys can do dueling Bruce Willis's.
Well, I do it.
His is a little different, though, because you can do, there's a few different versions of
it. Yeah, yeah. Well, your Vince Vaughn might be my favorite, because I think it's the best favorite I've ever heard of anybody do it.
Thank you.
Like, if you're...
Have you heard of people do it? I haven't heard a lot of people do it. Like,
Well, just because...
Because it's
like
so fucking tough. You have to talk fast, you have to sound like them, and you have to be funny, and you got all three. And I've heard people do it, and they talk fast, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know? And you can't just be talking fast like the Micro Machines guy, and then go, and that was Vince Vaughn.
Exactly.
You gotta have a swag to it, you gotta
like, if Vince Vaughn was at Subway, like, ordering a sandwich, like...
All right, okay, you got 6-inch? All right, what about 12? You got 9, sweetheart? Okay, what if you take a 12 and just cut off 3? Then we got 9, right? We work with that, right? Because right now you got a situation, okay? I see you looking at me, all right? I know you're going to charge me 50 cents for avocado, but I'm not into that, okay? All right, so why don't you be like Boy George? Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry? I mean, I don't know. You're staring at me funny. Are you a sandwich artist? Is that what you are? You're an artist? Is that what you are? Yeah, I'll show you some art. Yeah, I got a fucking Pollock I want to put all over your face. You know what I'm talking about?
Dude, that's so good.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
That's so, Vaughn,
see, like, how quick you are with it. Like, that's, you know.
And that's the thing is you have to be able to think of what you're saying and then still keep the impression and talk fast. So that's why it's such a hard.
This is going
to
sound
do.
Esoteric and douchey and very actory, but I swear to God, what I do is I picture Vince Vaughn as a skipping rock going across. Like I literally, when I started, I'm like, oh, I'm going this way, I'm going to that. Okay, I just keep trying to think. I keep trying to outdo myself.
That's great.
Like,
nope. That's
oh, I've already done that one. I've already done that one. Okay, and you just keep going. You know what I mean? So
nice. Well, whatever you do in that crazy little head of yours, it works out.
There's a lot of weird things.
What do you do? What's your approach for Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas. What I'd like to go with him is he's almost like I make him a little pervy too, not quite so much as you've done with.
Well, let's set it up. I'll be Catherine Zeta-Jones, and I'll be coming home late, and I'll be trying to work. I want to get us in the mood.
Okay, cool.
Hello, sweetheart. It's been a while since we've made whoopee, and I just wanted to tell you that I bought some candles from Yankee Doodle Candle Company, and I bought some Victoria's Secret lingerie, and I pierced my tits. So all three things that would make a fun night of butt fucking, and maybe we could, I don't know. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I'm horny.
All right, well, let me take my night mask off. Is that Helen Mirren? Oh, it's my wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Thank you for giving me throat cancer, you fucking bitch. As you can see, just took my sixth Ambien, hoping to pass out before you came home. Just talked to my father, Kirk. He couldn't stop shaking on the phone. Oh, he's trying to get a spoonful of grape nuts in his mouth. This wasn't happening.
I love grape nuts.
Yes, that's what you've done to my nuts. Now that I have cancer.
Oh, God, that is good.
Oh, that was a great clip from There's No Such Thing as Pizza. We'll be right back with the Goo Goo Dolls.
That's another one of those impressions where you thought to yourself, like, no one else does Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
I don't know of anyone that does it.
Spot on.
And it's fucking spot on. So do you have, like, a greater appreciation when you see something like behind the candelabra and you see Michael Douglas turn into... Like that,
he's dope in that.
That performance was ridiculous.
Well, I just love everything Steven Soderbergh's like doing in general. I mean, I just Steven Soderbergh, that Oscar speech he gave for Traffic. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh my God, dude, he just talks. He doesn't thank one person. He thanks all artists in the entire world, and he starts just thanking. And he has a speech about anybody that creates, anybody that wakes up, and he doesn't thank his agent, his wife, his mom, his dead aunt, nobody.
Right.
And I just love what he does. So, but what I really love is I love what he's doing right now. In the last like 5-6 years, he is just. First of all, he's been amazing to comics. Have you seen The Informant?
Yeah.
You put, like, every comic in that.
Tom Papa's in that. Like, yeah. Tom Papa's been in The Informant. He was in Behind the Candelabra.
Tom Papa loves him. They're bros.
Yeah, but I always love when directors put comics in non-comedic roles. Like, even Woody Allen putting Dice in his most recent movie. And Dice fucking knocked that out of the park because people don't realize comics play dramatic characters on stage.
Absolutely.
Granted, we give them funny lines to say. Yeah. To hide it, but we're playing our drunken abusive father. We're playing the girl that broke our heart. So we know how to tap into these emotions.
Well, and comics are usually almost everyone I know had their heart broken, and that's when they got good right after that.
Right,
and we have dark sides, especially me. And you know, like you can bring that in a drama. Like my dad has always told me, he's like, I don't see you being what you think you're going to be. Like I see myself as hopefully being someone like a Ben Stiller, like doing big comedies. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think you're going to be way more like someone like he was like says like Sean Penn, like someone that's just gonna do dark stuff.
Dude, my stepdad says the same shit, man. I'm like, and it also kind of like crushes your shit because you're like, but I want to be, I want to do comedy.
But I'm funny.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, look how many people, like, you know, I mean, a lot of people start and want, like, Ron Jeremy wanted to be an actor, like, a full on actor. Like, he came out here, like,
right. Holy shit. I thought you were stuttering over the wrong name and you were trying to say, like, you know.
Someone else, not Ron Jeremy.
Well, no, there's other ways you can go with it too. I mean, I'm trying to think of some. Roddy Dangerfield, you know, he wanted to like do like a lot of serious work. And Chris Farley's another good example. Chris Farley died wanting to play Fatty Arbuckle and be taken seriously as like an actor.
You see me post about that the other day. Just about, I was watching Black Sheep on the plane, and I was just like, dude, I just basically said like he was poised to go down as like one of the greatest actors of all time. Like,
yeah,
watching him in his dude, the honesty in his face on everything, and so real and so like, dude, could make you feel with one line, like just a look of like, knowing that he might have like let down his dad and not saving the tire company, like,
yeah,
but
in a ridiculous comedy.
How mad and disappointed were all of us when the whole Toronto mayor thing happened, and we see Tom Ford and go, Farley would have killed this.
I just did the Farley Brothers podcast, and
the podcast, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're
listening to that.
They're just they're really good guys, and they brought that up. You know, that actually did you actually see the spoof someone created of Farley doing it?
No.
Oh, you didn't know about this?
No.
Okay, so you know, so what's the mayor's name again?
Tom Ford.
Tom Ford.
Yeah.
So Bobby Moynihan played Tom Ford, you know, in an opening sketch of SNL like 2 weeks ago, and did the jokes you would expect. You know what I mean?
Sure.
All Kevin Farley did, and he wasn't trying to like take any respect away from Bobby Moynihan. He just literally tweeted the next day, you know, man, having a weird morning, just thinking about how much my brother would have killed that sketch last night. You know what I mean? Just like literally, like, you know, just being heartfelt, not saying it sucked, you know. And the tweet went viral. He's got like 20,000 followers from that tweet. It's been retweeted like thousands of times.
Yeah.
And somebody grabbed. Somebody grabbed footage of Farley and cut together a Tom Ford trailer because of that tweet.
How much do you guys talk candidly about? Like, do they think about that all the time?
I mean, they think about Farley all the time. And it's funny. You know, I met the way I know the Farley brothers. John Farley was in a movie called Housebroken with me, and he showed up to set. And like literally, he goes, dude, I remember this day. He's like, I've never seen anybody so excited to see me before in my life. Like, he remembers this. I'm literally walked up to him, and I looked like a kid like wanting an autograph outside Busch Stadium in St. Louis, like in the 80s. Like, I thought I was meeting Ozzie Smith, and I'm only in like second grade. And so he comes, sits down with me, and I go, I have a lot of questions that I want to ask you. He goes, oh, you want to talk about my dead brother? Like, he just went right there.
Wow, probably thinks everybody.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so, no. He meant it in a good way. He was like, he wasn't making fun of me. He's like, you
want to
talk about
him? So do they want to?
I mean, they do. They love talking about him.
And celebrating him.
I think anybody that puts themselves out there like that, they feel probably, look, that's what he would want. As he put himself out there to be talked about till the end of time, to be a legacy.
What kind of things would they talk about? I mean, like,
oh man,
yeah, obviously they don't want to talk about his struggles.
This one's really funny. Okay, this one's really, really, really funny.
By the way, this is Kevin and John Farley, who are Chris Farley's brothers.
Yes, yeah. Kevin and John Farley. And so again, so I met John, and I had 1,000 questions for him.
Sure.
And he told me this story on the set of Housebroken, and this is back in like 2007. And then I brought it up again when I just did their podcast, and I go, do you remember the story you told me? And I just made this little thing. I did it like a Hail Mary. And he goes, oh, yes. And we've never told that story on the podcast. So this is what happened. When they were young, you know, back in the day when there's no DVDs, there's no YouTube, if you wanted to beat off and you couldn't get a hold of a porno, well, you've got mom and dad's VHS library, right?
Sure.
So they're like, well, the scene's usually in like a legit movie that's not a porn, or what, maybe 30, 45 seconds long. You need like more time, you know, unless you can do it that fast. So they took two VCRs together, and Kevin and John, or Kevin did this. Kevin made a spank tape. They basically just ran all the sex scenes right in a row. So they had sex scenes from like Porky's, 9.5 weeks. Like,
it was like a that's what I call music CD for fucking jerking off.
Exactly. That's hilarious.
Now that's what I call
Train.
Porn.
Yeah.
And Soul Asylum.
Yeah. It's
Bill Bell Biv DeBo.
ABC. So they literally go right in a row. It's like Porky's, 9.5 weeks, you know, all these sex scenes. And Chris had beat it off to it many, many times before. It was like a worn out tape. It's just what they did, right?
Sure.
They're growing boys, right? Especially Chris, a very growing boy. And Kevin too. Kevin's a big, actually Kevin, dude, he had a photo on his refrigerator in his house. And he used to be ripped in his 20s.
Really?
Kevin Farley was ripped, dude.
Oh,
he goes, I keep that up there to tell myself, stop eating. I go, is it working? He goes, ha, obviously. Not.
He even laughed like Farley, huh? Like,
yeah.
The way he just did it right there.
Well, Kevin, I mean, he can't escape. I mean, Kevin looks exactly like him.
Yeah, he looks like him, so.
You know, and I think he knows that people get happy about that. It's not that they don't. Kevin is his own. Dude, he's a great comedian. He gets on stage and, like, he tells some stories that'll blow your mind.
He's a funny actor.
But he's aware that people want the stories, and he's aware that people get excited that he looks like him.
And
he embraces it.
Yeah.
He embraces it.
And he loves the fact that it brings people so much joy that they can't. We obviously can't have Chris anymore, but that's the closest we're going to come. And in some ways, I mean, obviously we want more, but just the fact that we get that, we feel blessed. Just to be able to talk to his brother.
He looks at it like, You know, I could tell by just the way he speaks about it. They speak so, like, passionately about him. They don't look sad. Yeah. I think they've dealt with it. They were part of the ride. I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. John and Kevin are in most of his movies. They have bit parts in almost everything. So,
sure.
You know, they were at every premiere, at every set.
But they don't feel responsible for not being... I'm sure everybody does a little bit, not being able to, like, you know, completely help him get control.
I think that, you know, they talk about this too. They come from a, you know, their dad was a boozer.
Yeah.
I mean, they tell a great story about their dad. He would drink all night and then literally still get up at 5 a.m. and go sell asphalt. Like, he's like, it's as if he wasn't even hungover. They're like, he drank like a whole handle and he's just, you know, so they come, you know, they come from a Wisconsin drinking family. Yeah. You know what I mean? And,
So
Spank Tape.
Yeah. So he's got the Spank Tape going.
So Spank Tape. So Chris is sitting there, and he's jerking off to the tape, and he didn't know that Kevin had added a new scene to the tape to close it out.
Okay.
And the scene is Jodie Foster and the Accused getting raped on the pinball machine.
Oh Jesus.
So he's spanking it. Chris Farley, just imagine Chris Farley spanking it in his bedroom.
Well, now you've killed erections for the next ever.
That's fine. Just think about Beverly Hills Ninja and you'll get it right back up.
Done.
I love that one. I know people don't like that one, but
that's one of my favorites.
It's fantastic.
Such a great premise too.
Oh, it's amazing. Or his little cameo in Dirty Work.
Oh God!
There's the Saigon whore that bit my nose off.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why I turned Farley into Jack Nicholson right
and
there.
And the only time Adam Sandler ever did a cameo for anybody.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, "We eat the pig and then we burn."
Yeah, it's so funny.
So he's beating it off, and then all of a sudden, the door opens. It's dark. It's at night, and so the only light in the room, there's no light on in the room, is the glow from the TV. And he gets to that one. He goes, "Oh, okay." Like, he just was like, "Oh, it's Jodie Foster." And everybody knows that is a very famous rape scene.
Yeah,
at the time, it was unprecedented.
Yeah, no clue.
Well, in it still holds up to how intense and like uncomfortable it does make you.
I mean, and there's been many scenes since then. You know, I mean, like, sure. You know, A Time to Kill. There's a lot of rape scenes now, but back then people weren't really getting that graphic. It was a big. And Jodie Foster's what, like 16 in that movie? It was a big deal.
Right, so Farley's
she's like, older than that, but she's playing younger than that. So
Farley's like, all right, whatever. It's just he doesn't see the rape isn't happening right away. So he has.
Well, he's beaten off. He's totally hard. He's getting to the end of the tape. He's rounding third, right? He thinks he's going to do a nice slide into home and, you know, put, in the words of Jay Moore, the map of Hawaii on his stomach. That's my favorite Jay Moore joke.
Oh, that's a great one.
He always inserts it somehow. He's like, you know, sometimes you fuck your wife and then you just pull out and you put the map of Hawaii on her chest. I love it. He's beaten off. The door opens and he sees in the glow on the TV that it's his mother. Now, his mother doesn't know about this tape, A, and she certainly does not understand, as a grown woman, why the fuck this famous rape scene is on it. And so, literally, they said she's the kind of woman she would speak up, but then sometimes if it was too much, like, oh, goodness. And so she literally just stood there, didn't know what to do. And Chris didn't know what to do. He just kept going. So he's jerking off. And then all of a sudden, Chris noticed that his mom starts backing away and does a Hail Mary across her chest, on her forehead. And literally just backs up and closes the door. So he finishes, and then
I love that part. Yeah. So he doesn't just run out there right away and talk to mom. He finishes up.
He runs into Kevin's room and goes, "Guys, mom caught me beating off." And they're like, "Big deal. We all beat off. She knows me." And he's like, "No, to the Accused." And they were just dying.
Oh my
that's
god,
that's so good.
Oh, we miss you, Chris Farley.
Oh, God,
that's a great story.
My mom had to call. My mom. I worked at Papa John's the day he died, and my mom called me and goes,
"We dressed like a pizza." I had a buddy that had to dress like a pizza and stand outside.
and
he quit because he said he did it for 2 days, and they asked him to do a third day, and he goes, "I'm not wearing a fucking pizza suit." And they go,
"Yeah, it is Jerry Maguire moment."
Oh, for sure. And he like, and he because you would have to dance a little bit, and also and stand there and hand out flyers. I remember I went and saw him one day, and he looked at me, and I just started like laughing and making fun of him. And it literally like it really like he was a really jovial, joking dude, but like he just needed money in high school, and he was just like,
that's what he
like, don't make fun of me, man. I was like, dude, you're
You're fucking dancing pizza.
You're dancing pizza. Right?
I mean, I want to dip you in cheese right now. What do you mean, don't make funny? You look delicious.
Yeah, seriously.
You never look so good.
Let me pour some marinara on your head.
Yeah, you do something different with your hair? Oh, that's pepperoni. Anyway, all right, so what'd you do at Papa John's?
I was working at Papa John's, and then he died, and my mom called me. I'll never forget this. You know, it's the only time anybody ever thought to call me. You know, today's day and age, you find out that, you know, Paul Walker or Nelson Mandela died. Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, yeah. You know. Just
instantly.
And
right
Heath
away.
Ledger, like when he died, I remember getting like 90 texts from people. Like, Heath yeah. Ledger died, because the Facebook status updates weren't so big yet in like 08. Yeah,
right. Chris Farley, I saw on the news, like a clip on the news where it was
well,
just,
my mom called me.
Oh, shit.
And she goes, she was Skylar, I just want to make sure. She was, are you sitting down? I'm like, well, mom, no, I'm working. And she goes, all right, well, you're just not going to like this. I go, is dad okay? First thought, is dad okay?
For sure.
Dad's fine. Dad's fine. I don't want to freak out. Chris Farley died. And I go, mom, not funny. And I remember just hang up. I totally thought she's kidding. Yeah. Every poster in my room was Chris Farley. Like, he was the biggest deal to me in the world. But yeah, dude, that fucked me up. I worked at a radio station at the time, a classic rock station in Kalamazoo. And I remember that song. Of course you do. It's a 90s song. Green Day, Time of Our Life.
Sure.
Oh, great yeah. Song. Every damn graduation.
It was every graduation.
Every graduation.
And I took it a step further, and I made it basically like a memorial song. I spent all night till like 4 a.m. in the booth at the radio station cutting. I probably still have it. I got
to
find it. I
cut audio clips
to that song of Chris Farley, and I would play it. And then it became this pop. People would call into the station
and request it, dude.
Yeah, wow. It was one of my favorite moments of my life.
Oh,
yeah.
My best God. Moment. Like, I might watch that and start tearing
for
up.
For sure, you tear up.
I should put it on YouTube. I bet it would do
it.
Well.
For it, sure, it would go insane and put clips and mash it up. It would do insanely well. Are you
kidding
me?
Yeah, yeah.
Who were real quick? Who were your like comedy influences? Who I always ask that of people.
Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm. The standards are like Farley, Sandler, Jim Carrey, In Living Color.
Ben Stiller. I like Adam Sandler. I like Steve Martin.
Yeah, the guys that can do anything.
Yeah. But I'd say my biggest, like, those are my comedy influences. My biggest actor influence, and you can totally see it once I tell people, they're like, oh, I can see that. Michael Keaton.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
Now that you say that, I could totally see Michael Keaton in your stuff.
Yeah. I worked for Cadillac for 3 months once in Santa Monica. I used to, when I first got out, I used to pick up celebrities in the Cadillac Escalade when they debuted the Escalade. Yeah.
Like who?
Picked up Russell Crowe.
Nice.
Took him to the Academy Awards.
You were Uber before Uber.
Yeah, I was Black Uber. Yeah.
Black Uber coming this summer, starring Tyler Perry.
That's actually a great idea.
And did he ask you? He goes, hey, mate, if I'm going to throw a phone at a hotel clerk, would I do it with my right hand or left hand?
Well, no, I didn't pick up Paul Hogan. I picked up Russell Crowe.
Paul Hogan. Hey, dude, you know what? Fine. My Paul Hogan sounds a lot like Russell Crowe. There. Exactly. I said it.
There. It's on the table.
Well,
I picked up Russell Crowe, and I took him to the Academy Awards, and I'll never forget this. He didn't want to talk at all. Like, not at all. And he had a girl with him, and she was good looking. Mm-hmm. And he goes, we're about to pull up to the event. He goes, hey, mate, why don't you go around the block real quick? And I go, oh, okay. And so I drive around the block, and he goes, go ahead and park right there. So I pulled the car over, and he goes, just make yourself busy. Come back in like 20 minutes. And I literally get out of the car, and it was like a Ma and Pa 7-Eleven right there on like Hollywood Boulevard. And I just went in there, and I'm like looking at candy bars, walking around like, what's Russell Crowe doing? And then I'm like, oh, he's probably having sex. Like, it didn't dawn on me. I was just so nervous about him telling me to do something that I just wanted to do it right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, he's probably fucking right now. I know he fucked, because when I got back in the car after I dropped them off, I looked in the rearview mirror, and they were like, make sure that, you know, people don't get too wild in the car, but of course, you know, they can do whatever they want because, you know, they are who they are.
Right.
Where you hang up, you know, the hangers.
Yeah.
What are those called?
I don't know.
What are those called?
Yeah.
But
where you hang up dry cleaning in a car.
Sure. That's
the little handles.
Yeah.
He had ripped. One of them was fully on the floor.
Yeah.
The other one was hanging, like it just got like knocked loose on one side. That means he was like doing like an inverted dip, like he was grabbing both sides, plowing into her. I mean, like, dude, that girl must have been walking very funny on the red carpet, dude.
Are you not entertained?
Well, and then after done, he fucked her, he looked at her right, bug eyed, and goes, "You got an angel with you." You got an angel in you.
Oh, you love this. And
that angel is my semen.
You love this because you love the random people. I picked up Robert Englund.
Nice.
Freddie.
Freddy.
Freddy Krueger.
Yes, and he is the coolest motherfucker on the planet.
I've heard that guy, he knows that he's Freddy, he embraces that he's Freddy, and he's like, fuck it, I like to have fun.
Another example, I'm so glad you actually brought that up. Earlier we were talking about actors that wanted to do one thing and then ended up doing another. Yeah. He's a Shakespearean, classically trained actor.
Wow.
Like, he full on, you could have inserted him into, like, you know, the Remains of the Day or Howard Zinn. Like, he was like a full on actor. And then one day gets an audition for Freddy, and then boom, that's just his life. After
and
that,
doing know? Cheesy kill lines
yeah.
for the rest of his career.
But he's a super nice guy. He lived down in a beach community. I don't know if I should say where he lived, but he lived down in a beach community, picked him up, and he brought his wife, and he brought this other girl that was his wife's friend. And he
asked you to go around the block a few times. Yeah. And he had a threesome in the back of the car with the Freddy glove. That's freaky.
Yeah, there was no fingering going on with him. But I took him to the Golden Trailer Awards, which is basically the Academy Awards for movie previews.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
And he was a presenter, and so we were very early. Because he requested me to be. And so he tells me to pull into Pacific Dining Car. He goes, you know where that is? I go, no. He goes, oh, all right, here's, and I had my Thomas guide out. There's no iPhones back then. You sure. know, I'm like trying to find it. Like, okay, D12, you know, I'm trying to find it.
Right.
And he goes, no, it's right over here on 6th Street. So we go to this restaurant. And I go, all right, I'll just wait out here for you. He goes, no, are you kidding me? And I go, what? He goes, come in with us. And they're like a fine. I mean, at this point, I'm eating ramen noodles, tuna out of a can. Like,
right.
I got no money, dude. And he literally goes, come with us. So he takes me inside. He goes, do you mind if I order for you, dude? I'm like, I wouldn't even know how to order this place. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so he orders me he goes, get the baked potato. He got me a filet mignon. He got me lobster tail. He got me crab cakes.
Holy shit.
Orders That's me so everything. Great. Pays for the whole thing. And then he's the biggest tipper of all time. He gave me $200 tip that night. No one else. Usually,
and he fed you.
Yeah, average tip from a star when I did that gig was like 20, 30 bucks. He gave me $200.
Wow.
Yeah. He gave me so much advice about acting and how to make it, how to get my SAG card, how to get an agent, what to do, what not to do. Like, I wasn't even asking. He goes, you're an actor, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right. Here's a couple pointers. And he would just tell me stuff.
That's helpful, that's, right? When you come so across people cool. that actually take the time to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And unsolicited. The fact, you know, gets out of his own way. He doesn't think that he's better. Or
yeah.
He just does that. And now, look at that. You are now telling that story to everyone, and that's what some of these people don't realize is that you can be a dick, you can be a nice guy, but you're not just being that to that one person.
Yeah,
that one person, especially if you're a celebrity, they're telling that
story.
They're
gonna pass it on
to everybody.
What's the first thing you do if I came in right now? Like, oh, dude, I just met Michael Douglas. You'd be like, what's he like? That's the first thing people want to know. Well, what's he like? Is he cool? Like, that's the first question.
Yeah,
and like, you have to know your influence. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have like Jay Moore, Henry Winkler, John Lovitz. Like, these have been guys that have been like, this is what you got to do. This is what mm-hmm. you don't got to do. You know what I mean? And give me good advice. You know,
and one day, very soon, Skylar Stone. Some people are going to have stories about you.
Well, I've already got one, dude. Skylar was incredibly instrumental in helping me with a big, business career decision. As far as like dealing with management and stuff, and also, so I was just at a crossroads of like, you know. Anyway, not it's not interesting and or funny, but you've already done it, and I, you know, and it's again, it was selfless and like really, because shit, man, you don't. I think you also, at least for me, I feel like you want to feel like you can figure shit out on your own a lot, and you don't want to like seem weak or like seek out like type of certain questions or know how to go about phrasing it. You feel like, you know, as supportive as it kind of is out here amongst comedians and everybody, it's very competitive. So you're not quite sure who to ask or if you're asking the right person, if they ever even are going to give you straight advice. But you were on point, man, and helped. I mean, that was a very crucial time, man. And
I was glad to help, man. I mean, I don't want to reach out to him. I'm like, yo, I'm a fan of yours. I just watch shit online. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I mean, you have to look at your body of work. And if you look at Skylar Stone's IMDb page, you've been in a ton of shit. And
look at his pranks online. We didn't even get to that shit. You have to come back. But I mean, Khan, you know, years ago has led
Twilight
to,
stuff.
Dude, setting up the Twilight screening was unbelievable. Just YouTube that shit, Skylar Stone Twilight prank. Basically set up a theater for a bunch of people to see the movie, a screening
of New Moon.
Weeks before of New Moon. And people fucking were so irate. And,
one couple flew in from San Francisco to go to that screening.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Only to find out that some fucking dick comedian was like, hey, you're a fucking loser for loving vampires.
Yeah. Well, dude, I almost got sued for that whole thing by the
of course you did.
By Summit.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, the people that released it.
For using the name of the movie.
Well, there was a shot of the poster in the prank,
and that's what
they were pissed off about. I mean, they were really actually pissed off about what I did.
Yeah,
but that was where they were like, "All right, well, technicality, motherfucker."
Found the legal loophole
because people aren't mad at Skylar; they're still stupid enough to be like, "Twilight did this to me."
Yeah, yeah, no, trust me. Yeah, that was a very weird phone call.
But that's one of the reasons why you've been successful is that you
sexful.
I think sex. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you said
sexful.
Yeah, Listen, I'm looking at your hair right now and. Sex just came to my mouth.
If you want me to go get a black Uber right now and fucking Russell Crowe this shit, Brad, I will break you. Okay? I'm not even that big, but
yeah. Listen, Skylar and I have got some business to handle. Yeah, so sure.
I gotta go. Right, there's no such thing as pizza.
Yeah, so
finally be able to go. Hey, Adam, about last night.
Yeah.
Whoa,
Skylar, where can our followers find you on Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter at the Skylar Stone. No one follows me on Twitter. I don't
know. They do.
They will now.
Yeah.
At the Skylar Stone. And then SkylarStone.com. And I got a monthly show at the Hollywood Improv. You've done it. You've done it.
It's a great show.
Oh, it's the best show there.
I don't know if this will come out by the time your next show, but like your lineups are always insane. You have Arias Spears, Natasha Leggero,
Whitney Cummings,
Krista Leah,
Ralphie May.
All on the same show.
And then three confirmed drop-ins that I can't announce, but and they're huge.
Yeah, so if you live in the Hollywood area, go see Skylar Stone's show.
Hollywood Improv.
At the Hollywood Improv.
Called Comedy Rocks.
Comedy Rocks. It's always a crazy good lineup.
It's fun.
You will always have a good time. See, when the movie comes out,
Walking with Dinosaurs, December 20th, 3D and IMAX, baby.
Go see the movie. Follow him on Twitter, and just... Skylar, you're a fun guy to know in the business. You're a guy that brings everyone together, and I'm really happy that I get to call you my friend.
Dude, you're the man, Brad. I love you guys. Seriously.
You got an angel with you. Pat the penis.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.